The Holy Gospel lesson today is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. Would you please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel lesson in honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? The Gospel will also be the message of which I will be preaching on this morning. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins who woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, good morning, Emmanuel. I hope all of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and were able to get together with family and friends and enjoy the wonderful bounty that the Lord has given us with fellowship and with food and friendship that our nation is blessed with. Weddings were a time of great, great celebration and joy in Jesus' day, just as weddings are also today. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus tells us about waiting for the bridegroom to arrive so that the wedding feast can begin. In Jesus' day, it was the groom who was the real center of attention. Of course, today, it's different, isn't it? It's all about the bride. Everyone waits for the arrival of the bride. When she arrives, every moment of the bride is photographed by the photographer, or maybe even more than one. Everyone stands as she comes down the aisle in the church as a ceremony is about to begin. And everyone stares at her and notices how beautiful she looks. The groom, well, he's just the nervous guy standing up there next to the pastor. And he's the lucky one who has won the love of this beautiful woman walking down the aisle to marry him. But in Jesus' day, we remember it was a male-dominated society at that time. And weddings were all about the groom. He played a very important and crucial part to the wedding and to even his arrival at the wedding. To give you a little background on some of this, in Jesus' time, a payment would be made to the bride's parents as a gift in order to marry the bride. It was a dowry, we could say. They would give some money or some kind of for the opportunity to marry this woman. Maybe back then it was goats or lambs, I don't know, but probably so in a deal like that. After this negotiation was completed between the bridegroom and the bride's parents, there would be a time called the betrothal, where they would be separated, even though they were viewed as being married, as we find in Scripture with Joseph and Mary. And during that time, the groom would take time to get his affairs together, to get his household together, to get everything set up to go and take his wife back to his home to be his bride. And he would come at an unexpected time, although from what I read, it was somewhat expected because he would notify the parents of the bride about when he was going to come, But nobody knew exactly about the timetable he would arrive. But they had an idea it was going to be sometime in this period of time he would show up, but not knowing exactly. And he did this in order to keep everyone excited and in anticipation of his arrival to take his bride. In Jesus' story, the bridesmaids were waiting through such a delay. They were waiting for the bridegroom to come, but they didn't know he was going to come, but they knew he was going to come for sure. They were ready for his arrival to escort him into the wedding hall. Five of them, however, we are told, were not ready. They really weren't ready at all. They had time to get extra oil, but for one reason or another, they felt they didn't need to. They didn't have a sense of urgency to have that extra oil with them. Perhaps they thought that the groom would arrive during the daylight hours, and then the festivity and the party would begin, and they really didn't need to have any oil or much oil in the lamp that they had or extra oil with them in case he came late at night. They thought, that's never going to happen. So when the bridegroom delayed his coming, and it got to be late at night, all the way to midnight, and then the announcement was made, he is coming, they realized they did not have enough oil. And they asked the other five bridesmaids for some extra oil that they might have had, but they said, no, we think ours might run out if we give you any. You go to the store, you wake up the store owner, and you get the oil. And so they did. They went out to the store and woke up the store owner in the middle of the night to buy this oil in order to return to be part of the wedding festivity. The problem was when they returned and they sought entrance into the wedding feast, they were considered no different than uninvited guests, people that were not supposed to be there. The feast had begun and the door was shut, it was locked. It was too late. Jesus is telling us here in our text something important. He's telling us these five virgins were not very wise or very clever at all. You see, they knew that he was coming, and they knew for certain he was going to come. All 10 of them knew this, even though they didn't know the exact time when he was going to come, but they knew he was going to come, but yet they were not prepared. Five of the girls came with extra oil for their lamps, just in case the bridegroom came later than expected, as did. And the other five did not and had to make that emergency run to the store to wake up the shopkeeper in the middle of the night to buy more oil. And when they returned again, it was, as we are told in our text, too late. The door of the wedding feast was shut and locked. They banged on the door. It's us, let us in. But time had run out. They begged to be let in, and there was a reply. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Wow. Something not expected in this story. A disturbing end to this story that Jesus tells. Those who thought the bridegroom would come before it got too dark or too late, miscalculated. They realized they had made a fatal mistake by not being prepared for the bridegroom to come at a time when possibly he wouldn't come on their timetable, so they had to have extra oil, and they didn't prepare for that, did they? Not so again with the other five. They were prepared even if the bridegroom came late at night, even at midnight. They were ready to go, probably even later. They had plenty of oil to carry them through. So as we reflect upon this parable of Jesus, the question is, what is Jesus telling us this morning? What can we learn from this story? First, very importantly, Jesus here is pictured as the bridegroom. The bridegroom who gave a dowry for his bride. We remember that. We'll talk about that in a moment. This story, along with the rest of Scripture, leaves us with no doubt whatsoever that Jesus is going to return. He is coming back again. We don't know precisely when he will come again, but he is definitely returning. This is what Scripture teaches. We find the promise of God's coming in the Old Testament, talked about in the New Testament by Jesus and by his followers, by the Apostle Paul. He talks about it as well in his book, The Corinthians. There's no doubt about it that Jesus is coming back again. The second coming of Jesus, we call it, or the second advent of Jesus, is going to happen. It's going to happen despite what doubters or skeptics or unbelievers say or write. You know, every year around Christmas time, they come out with all these stories about the Nativity, all this stuff about Jesus and his birth, and it's all based on skepticism. But the scriptures are based on reality and truth, and they're historical. Based on people who are eyewitnesses. St. Luke tells us in his gospel that he went around in the book of St. Luke and Acts and interviewed people and talked to them about the events. And then he wrote down it historically as these events had taken place. The second coming of Jesus will happen despite what people might say today, the doubters and the skeptics. Secondly, it is clear that Jesus and his return has been delayed. It's been delayed. It might seem like a long time between Christ's first coming and the second advent that we wait for, but in God's eyes, 2 or 3 or 4,000 years really, really is nothing at all. The Bible tells us without a doubt we are living in the last times before our Savior will come. And all we have to do is kind of look at the world around us and all the threats and the decline of morality in the world and in our country, and it's not difficult to see. We are in the last times. Thirdly, this parable of Jesus is all about waiting. And that's important for us as Christians, to be alert, to be ready, to be waiting. Jesus is telling us that God has graciously given us this time. This time so that everyone, everywhere will have a chance to hear the message of salvation and to come to faith. There's a little story I'd like to share with you about Janelle. And Janelle was expecting Jeff to come to show up for their first date. She was all dressed up and waiting patiently for Jeff. However, by the time he was an hour late, she figured she'd been stood up. He wasn't going to show up at all. So she took off her makeup, put on her pajamas, gathered all the junk food she could get out of the pantry, and sat down on the couch in front of the TV with her dog to watch one of her favorite programs. Just then, the doorbell rang. It was Jeff. He stared wide-eyed at her and said, "I'm 2 hours late, and you're still not ready?" I guess that about sums it up. Maybe kind of a contemporary illustration of our text before us this morning. Jesus is delaying for a reason, for a purpose. He hasn't forgotten us or his church. He's doing that so everyone who has never heard of his dying, his suffering and death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, who have never heard of his powerful resurrection on Easter morning, who have never heard of the eyewitness accounts of people meeting him following his resurrection and his glorious ascension into heaven, so that they might be given a chance to know the Savior and his tremendous love towards fallen humanity. He is delaying to give those who have not heard or who have rejected him the first time a second chance to hear the message again and hopefully to reconsider by the power of the Holy Spirit, to give them another day, another chance to get ready. He is delaying so that no one can have an excuse that they didn't have enough time to get ready. He is delaying his return to give the church, to give you and me and every person that belongs to the family of God an opportunity also to tell others about Jesus Christ. And with the prayer that the Holy Spirit will lead them to faith and they will respond to the precious gospel of our Savior. That neighbor down the street that maybe you invited to Thanksgiving dinner. That person you see when you stop by Starbucks on a maybe regular basis to pick up a coffee or a latte and maybe even have a word with. That relative or friend or family member that doesn't know the Savior and His love. Or maybe he has heard it, but, you know, wasn't ready. But maybe his heart has changed now. So that they may have an opportunity to hear about the Savior who gave His life for them. As I mentioned, in the days of Jesus, it was kind of unique because the bridegroom gave a dowry to the family in order for them to allow their daughter to marry him. They got something out of it. The dowry that Jesus gave, we know, was His holy, precious blood poured out on the cross. That's the payment He made to win the bride, the church, over to Him. We're the church, He's the bridegroom, and He gave His blood for each and every one of us, and for all humanity as well. Jesus died for everyone in the world, but we know not everyone will turn to Him, unfortunately. We need to be ready for Jesus, including myself. I need to be ready for Him by being in His Word and studying the Scriptures, honoring God above all things. We as His people in His church, putting our trust in Him for the forgiveness of our sins through His innocent suffering and death on the cross, it's something that we need to be in and thinking about regularly each day, trusting in His promises of heaven and salvation, getting to know God through worship experience and hearing the message, but then going a little bit farther by opening up the Bible, using that devotional sheet, coming to Bible class, attending something during the midweek, getting involved in ministry, reaching out to the community, as this church does in many fashions. Getting to know God, serving others in the name of the Savior. In the words of the parable, keep our lamps lit and ready with plenty of oil. And that plenty of oil comes from hearing and reading the Scriptures where our faith is built up through the Holy Spirit. Keeping our lamps ready. Waiting for the inevitable coming of the bridegroom. There will come a day when Jesus will return and the dead will be raised and taken into glory and the door will be shut. Then it will be too late. Those who are not ready will all be left outside. Where Scripture tells us there will be weeping and there will be gnashing of teeth. Then the dreadful sentence will ring out in their ears as they stand outside the kingdom. I never knew you. Now notice, He does not say, I never loved you. He does not say, I never called you. He does not say, I never drew you near to me. He only says, I never knew you because you never bothered. You never bothered to know me. My friends, this is a hard-hitting parable on this last Sunday of the church year, a Sunday that focuses on the second coming of Christ. It's a hard-hitting parable because it's a parable of judgment. Jesus is saying to His church, be ready. And keep your lamps burning with oil. It strikes at the core of our hearts this morning as we open our hearts to God and we see our sinfulness, our half-heartedness, our lukewarmness often to the ministry of God and to serving Him. It strikes out at all those good intentions we all have, but we just can't quite follow through and get those things done, can we? We are like those foolish virgins, the foolish women in our text. We are sinners. And in many respects, we can't help ourselves because we struggle with this nature within us. So we turn to Jesus, as we do this morning, and He listens. And we ask for His help, and He answers. His forgiveness for us and for our failures, He provides for us as his people through his blood shed on the cross. He strengthens us in our faith through the sacrament of Holy Communion. He fills us with the Holy Spirit through the waters of baptism. And even though we struggle and we fall short, he is with us and in us and helping us each and every day as we keep on moving forward through the precious gospel of Jesus Christ that lives in our hearts. That lives in our hearts. It's only because Jesus we will end up on the other side of the door on the last day. It's only because of his grace, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness towards sinners like us that we will be on the other side of the door where all of the partying and all of the rejoicing will be taking place. And it won't last just a few days. It will last for eternity where all of that will take place. It is because of his undeserved grace and love. We ask Jesus today and tomorrow and next week and next month, Lord, keep us alert. Help us to be like the five wise virgins in our text, to have our lamps lit with plenty of oil, filled with your word and with the power of your Holy Spirit through studying the scriptures and through worship and being close to you in so many different ways. Help us to live out our daily lives as your people, to love God, to love others, and to show it to others, to be awake and ready for the Lord's return. May God bless us to that end on this last Sunday of the church year calendar as we look forward to the coming of Jesus, not only with the season of Advent, as we look forward to his celebration of his birth, remembering that, but the assurance, the absolute certainty of his return again. May the Lord keep us always in his grace and always in true faith. Amen. We continue our service now with prayer. Please rise as we come to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we gather today, and first of all, we thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you continue to shower upon us. We thank you for this past Thursday, a national day of thanksgiving, not only for us, but for our entire nation. And we pray, Lord, that your name was spoken and shared with on that day, and people reflected and thought about the blessings that you have given them and the salvation they have through your Son, Jesus Christ, and gave you thanks for that, the forgiveness of sins, the promise of eternal life, and your presence with us each and every day through the gift of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would enkindle within your church a feverish desire to share the gospel, to share the love of Jesus Christ with people around them, people they know and people they don't know, that they may know the Savior's dying love for them, and that they too may be part of that great wedding banquet on the last day. Bless your church, this congregation, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and all of the pastors and lay people within our church body, and Christians, we pray, around the world, especially be with those who are persecuted because of their faith. Strengthen them in their faith. Be with them and give them an extra measure, we pray, of the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our nation and for our president and all those who occupy positions of authority over us. Be with them, guide, direct them, grant them wisdom as they govern this great land, Lord. And lead them, we pray, especially to the sacred scriptures where wisdom on high is given. Also, we thank you for the firefighters and first responders who responded to the fires here in California. We thank you for their service and ask your protection upon them and continued blessing. Be with the families and the loved ones who lost lives and family members and property in the recent fires. Grant them your strength, your peace, your comfort. Let them know that you are there, even through your church that is at work in those areas as God's people minister to them. Especially be with the pastor and the congregation up in Paradise that was lost, the parsonage and the church. Be with all of those families, gracious Lord. Comfort them, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. Be with our brothers and sisters in the military who serve our country, and especially those who know you, Lord, that they may share their love for you with those around them as well and be witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his birth and his love. Lord, in your mercy. And we also bring before you those in our hearts this morning, on our minds this morning, those people who may not know you, those people who are struggling with something in their life. We lift that name up to you, Lord, and ask you to be with that person involved in their life, and even use us, if possible, to speak to them and to help them in some way, Lord. And we remember those within the family of God here at Emmanuel who need strength and healing, remember, and those who are homebound. Be with these, your servants, who are dealing with situations in their lives where they need strength and healing because of illness or surgery or hospitalization. Grant them your comfort and peace, we pray now. Lord, in your mercy. And with great thanks, we give you thanks for the birthdays celebrated this month within this congregation, those who celebrate their birthday or their wedding anniversary. Use them in your kingdom, and use each and every one of us to be a part of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless this church, its outreach, and all of the events that are coming up here next month as we look forward to celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. We bring all of these petitions before you now in the most holy name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.